This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This BFM Budget 2021 special is brought to you by Masing.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Dashran Johan, and with me is Julia Jacobs and Lim Soo. And before the break, we spoke to some folks from the art scene to find out what they think of Budget 2021. So for our next story, undeniably, the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted all sections of society and cuts across socioeconomic lines. But some segments of society have been hit harder than the rest of us. So these are individuals who are already facing significant socioeconomic marginalization, and they will be the most severely impacted. And this includes at-risk women and children, the elderly, elderly persons with disabilities, refugees, migrants, and so much more. So continuing on our budget analysis, we are now focusing on a broader group that is the B40 community.
Yeah, and across the world, you know, not just in Malaysia, experts have voiced their concerns about the socioeconomic impact on lower income communities. Here in Malaysia, there was early results from a recent longitudinal study by UNFPA and UNICEF on low-income families in Kuala Lumpur. And, you know, the results weren't exactly positive. They found that these families have been disproportionately affected by the pandemic. So urban low-income families are more likely to be unemployed, to face cuts in their working hours. And on top of that, they find it more difficult to access healthcare and home-based learning. And of course, besides that, there's also the impact of COVID-19 on exacerbating food insecurity in these low-income households. This forces them to adopt less healthy diets, and that could impact child malnutrition, which is something already of quite serious concern among Malaysian children.
Yeah, that's right. And with the outbreak in Sabah, we are further seeing how low socioeconomic status and poverty interacts with the impact of the pandemic and the movement control measures. So Sabah is already the poorest state in Malaysia, and combined with poor health status and poor access to health facilities, we've all heard already, you know, of those harrowing news of how some Sabahans are struggling to just even put food on the table. And in response to this, we saw NGOs and good-hearted Samaritans come together to provide aid to them. But the problem remains one that needs to be solved through better aid and support from the federal government.
So throughout the various economic stimulus packages that we've seen announced this past year, you know, the B40 community have been among the groups that were the focus of that aid from the federal level. So there were initiatives such as loans, loan moratoriums, tax exemptions, as well as cash injections that were implemented. And this was just to provide some temporary aid and to just encourage them to spend to drive the economy forward.
That's right. But looking ahead, with the CMCO back in place for a month in most of the country, how will Budget 2021 help these communities, families and individuals in the year to come? So just a quick look at some of the benefits targeted at the B40 community from Budget 2021. So first, there's the Bantuan Prihatin Rakyat, which is a rebranded Bantuan Sara Hidup. So for example, that will see households with a monthly income of less than 2,500 ringgit with one child receiving a one-off payment of 1,200 ringgit, and households with two children or more receiving up to 1,800 ringgit. And the amount received lowers as the household income increases. So individuals who earn 2,500 ringgit and below and age 21 and above will also receive an assistance of 350 ringgit.
Yes, and children from poor families would also see increased assistance. That's from 100 ringgit to 150 ringgit per child for those aged between 7 and 18, with a maximum of 450 ringgit per family, or 200 ringgit per child for those aged 6 and below, with a maximum of 1,000 ringgit per family. Then there's also the Jaringan Prihatin program, which is a move to offer 180 ringgit of telecommunication credit for the B40 group. So this can be used to purchase internet subscriptions or subsidize the cost of a new smartphone. On top of that, telcos will also provide free data worth 1.5 billion ringgit.
Yeah, so these are just, you know, some glimpses of the benefits that are targeted at these lower income households. But how much will it help them in the long run? How much will it help to help them to weather through this pandemic? So joining us to share his thoughts is the chairman of Parti Socialist Malaysia, Dr. Jayakumar Devaraj. So welcome to the show, Dr. Jayakumar. What are your thoughts on the proposed budget when it comes to supporting the B40 community, especially considering what they've been going through?
Okay. I think the good thing about the budget is that the government is taking the position that they can have a larger deficit. They can go to a deficit of 6%, which is good. They're not trying to balance the budget.
So then what are the main issues that the budget needs to address in order to provide the necessary aid and support for these communities and individuals who are struggling to put food on the table?
Yes, I think, see, the problem with the budget is it doesn't seem to take into account that this epidemic, COVID, has actually affected people in different levels of severity. For example, there are a lot of people who have been able to go back to work, but there are some who actually lost their jobs. Certain factories, the hotel sector, aviation, workers who come back from Singapore, especially restaurants, you know, restaurants, their business have gone down. So it affected people differentially. But what the government's programs seem to be, you know, a kind of a broad for everyone, you know, a BRIM, a BPN for everyone. And that is a problem because, you know, not everyone needs help. You know, I mean, let's say if I've got a job and my job hasn't gone away, I don't need extra money. But if I'm a person who's lost my job, if I'm a single mother working in a restaurant for daily wages and the restaurant is closed now and I don't get work every day in the week, those people need more help. So we need to target it, you see, instead of spreading it out and giving bonuses to everyone. If you really want to protect, then I think at this point in time, the government's got to protect those who have been badly affected. And so there are many families where even food, basic food, paying their monthly rent is a big struggle because they don't have the income. And these are the families that the government should be helping. And I don't see that. Even businesses do. Not all businesses need money. Some of them are doing all right. And some are doing not so well, and some are doing very badly. For example, school canteens, you know, school bus operators, the tourism sector. And those people need more easy credit to ease their loan payments and their debts and their suppliers and their workers. So I think it's going to be more targeted. It's good the government wants to help. That's good. But the way they're helping is too generic, and it's not focusing and giving. So like now, for example, they're giving this Bantuan Prihatin to about 10 million people, when actually there are only about 700,000 families where the income has gone to the floor, and they're really having trouble meeting basic needs, you know, food, housing. And those families actually should get money, help monthly, not once every 6 months or 8 months. These families need, for the duration of the epidemic and the recession, they need more regular monthly stipends to make sure they can put food on the table. So that's one of my major problems with the budget. It's good the government is prepared to spend more, but they don't seem to be very well focused on how they're spending the money.
So the proposed budget includes several plans that are targeted at the B40 community, so including the Bantuan Prihatin, which you mentioned earlier. There's also aid for children in poor families, telco credits, and, you know, so on. What impact do you see these plans having on supporting these communities who need it in the year to come?
Not enough right now, you know. If you look at the Bantuan for the children, they're saying they're increasing the aid for children, right, per month, per child. That's a good idea. But I look at the welfare budget, I see it's coming under that, it's where it was before. The welfare budget has only gone up about, say, less than 10%. So how are they going to give all that money they're talking about unless they cut down the number of recipients? So I don't see it. I mean, it's said in the budget, when you go through the budget in detail, the welfare allocation, the allocation for the, you know, for women, society, development, that ministry, it hasn't gone up. So where is the money coming? How's the money being channeled? That's a question. And I think the other problem that I have with this budget is they haven't assessed this recession properly. They're saying they're going to, the minister said, we're expecting a GDP growth next year of 6.5 to 7.5%. I think that's totally too hopeful, you know. You're dreaming. Because until the pandemic is under control, not only in Malaysia, but throughout the world, only then can the economy recover. I mean, Malaysia is a trading country. Our exports are about 70% of our GDP in terms of value. So we need to export to other countries. And if their economy is down, then how can our economy go back to normal? It can't. So until we get a proper vaccine, which we haven't got yet, a vaccine that's safe and effective, And until that vaccine can be given to people all over the world, you know, especially Europe, America, and Malaysia, is our main trading partners, until then, the economy is going to have this problem. You know, we start a bit, we open up a bit, then there's no need to clamp down. What we're doing now, happening in Europe as well, right? And under Biden, I think America too will try to do some kind of better social distancing to kind of put a cap onto the rate of increase. So all that will drag the economy down. So the whole of 2021, we're going to be stuck in this. So to say you're going to have a growth of 6.5%, I think that's purely illusory. And the problem with that is you underestimate the number of people who need help, the duration time they need help, and you overestimate your income because you think, oh, businesses are going up, my taxes are going to go up, petrol income is going to go up. So you miscalculate the whole thing, you know, in terms you have a far more rosy picture of what government income is going to be based on that estimation of 6.5 to 7.3% growth. And you have a gross underestimation of the number of families and number of businesses which will need protection. That means your expenditure is, you know, is going to be much more than what we are assuming given this high expectations of growth. This is my other problem. It's not realistic. Looking at the actual situation, and they're hoping against hope that, you know, it'll grow.
So if there is an over expectation of the country's income for next year, how might that impact the aid that is provided if the budget is passed?
Well, I mean, if they go through and they're expecting a certain level of income and it doesn't come through, they'll have to borrow more. That's basically what they've got to do. I mean, a government can borrow. I'll be for it. They'll need to borrow more. So that the government can do. No, it's just that they're not on the ball. As far as the severity of this thing and how long it's going to last, they are off the mark. They're still talking of a V-shaped growth. And the thing is, I won't blame them too much because World Bank talks the same way. IMF talks the same way. But they're off the mark. The economy, you know, it's not just you can talk in a confident way and the economy will go up. I mean, businessman, let's say a factory owner in Malaysia, he will produce more, he'll hire more people. He knows he can sell his products locally and, you know, maybe in the European market or the American market. The market is there, he'll produce more. The market is not there, even if you give money, he won't go and increase his production unless he knows that the market is there to absorb that, isn't it? That's the kind of problem that I think our guys, our mainstream economists, the government planners, haven't really wrapped their minds around it.
Coming back to Budget 2021's plans, EPF withdrawals from Account 1 are to be allowed for those who have lost their jobs, so they can withdraw 500 ringgit a month over the course of 2021. So now this has been both welcomed and questioned over its long-term impact on retirement savings. Is this beneficial or hurting the B40 community?
Well, I think in the short run, maybe a lifesaver for some people. You know, there are families without money now. There are families calling me and saying, food, please give us some money or give us some food and all that. So there are people like that. And some of them may be helped if they have EPF savings, yes. But the other part of it is that most people, about 7% of our workers, don't have enough EPF savings. I mean, savings run out within 5 years of retirement, you know. So actually, okay, if the government has a plan to give universal pension, maybe $300 a month for every 70-year-old person. 70 and above, you don't have government pension, you don't have, you know, a pension. Government will give you $300 a month for the rest of your life. If that's going to come in, then you stop ETF saving or the ETF saving. Really matters because when you're really old, above 70, the government is going to supplement you. We're asking for that. So the government wants to bring that kind of thing in, then you weaken ETF. I think it's all right. But if you don't bring that kind of a universal pension in at certain age, but then you allow them to deplete EPF, and even now EPF is not enough, then I think, you know, it may be helping out with the current problem of lack of finance, but you're putting their retirement prospects in a heat worse now for them.
And who are the individuals or workers who might fall between the cracks of the proposed benefits?
Well, I think, well, the people who I can see are like the daily rated workers, the people who work in restaurants, washing dishes, the people who help in small stalls, they're like contract workers. They're not really part of the formal working group. They don't have EPF, they don't have SOCSO. They go to work, they get money, $30 a day or $4 a day. A lot of them like that, you know, agriculture sector, in the restaurants, in the pasar malams, you know, loading goods, unloading goods in markets, stores. There's about maybe a million people working like that, you know. They're affected. The other group are affected are those in the whole aviation, hotel, tourism sector. Another group affected are the schools, you know, the school buses, the school canteens. You know, these people are also, the income has really gone down because the schools have been stop-go. And then the small stalls, you know, a lot of the restaurants, small eating stalls and all that, with the lockdowns, and the, you know, people can't eat there and all that, their business has come down. So I think, but it's not uniform. There are different levels of being affected. I mean, government servants, for example, they're affected in terms of the income. Of course, some government servants are on the front line and they are at risk of infection. And yeah, that is there. But in terms of income, they're not affected. You know, and the workers in the factories, which are continuing, which still have a market, and which are still producing, they're not affected. So the thing is, what you've got to see is it affects a certain percentage of the population very badly, you know, in terms of income. It affects all of us because we've got to stay in, we've got to be careful, we're worried about getting infected. But a certain 10% of the population, the income has gone down by more than 50%, and they're struggling from it. Some of them who are having trouble putting food on the table. And we should be focusing on them. So the government now should actually look at protecting our society. The SME, which are in danger of going under, as well as the families which are not able to meet basic. And our limited budget should be focused on that. So that's my quarrel with the budget. If the money was less than two, everything, problem. But if the money is limited, then the first priority should be families that are having trouble, basically, and businesses that might go bankrupt because of cash flow problems. So these are the two things the government should, you know, and of course, healthcare. I think the health budget should increase. We need more in the health. These three things you do, I'll be happy with. I don't see enough of that.
You're very right there. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Jayakumar. That was the chairperson of Parti Socialist Malaysia, Dr. Jayakumar Devaraj.
Yeah, and he had some, you know, quite good points about, you know, the importance of these programs to be targeted at specific individuals, companies and communities who really need it, you know. And I think now, you know, we're seeing the MPs continuing to debate Budget 2021 in Parliament today and the week to come. So before they, and that's before they vote on it. So, you know, he's hoping that there are more clarifications as to some of the items that were mentioned. And changes that might be made that will benefit the rakyat, especially those who really need it.
Yeah, very well said. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. So if you missed any part of our conversation, you can download the podcast on the BFM app. You can also log on to bfm.my/thedailydigest or even check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can keep sharing your thoughts with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. If you'd like to reach the Bigger Picture crew, you can drop us a message on our Facebook page, that is BFM, The Bigger Picture. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news on Front Row, Sharmila Ganesan speaks to artists Anas Afandi and Tang Zi Lai, as well as the director of Wei Ling Contemporary, Lim Wei Ling, about the importance of nurturing emerging artists and providing a space for them to both create and reflect on their work. So that's once again after the 3 p.m. news. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This BFM Budget 2021 special was brought to you by Masing.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.